You're listening to Magrito Podcast Network, celebrating the culture of Chicanos and Latinos one story and voice at a time. Connect on social, on Instagram and Facebook at Magrito. Find all the Magrito Podcast Network shows over at magrito.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Chula Vista residents, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Emo Brown Podcast, brought to you by My Grito, as well as Grasshopper. For your medicinal, recreational, cannabis needs, don't forget to visit Grasshopper. Take your $12, get your 3 pre-rolls back, and boy do I feel weird promoting this in front of your future city attorney, Chula Vista. I really shouldn't feel weird, as this is all legal business, but something inside me always says, hey, probably don't promote this, but yes, we will, because they're our homies, your homies, everyone's homies, Grasshopper. Yeah. Well done, Barry. I feel like you're getting better behind that microphone and the computer.
Get a little more comfortable.
We're here today with another episode of the Emo Brown Podcast, and we have a special guest, as we are in special times and a special place in San Diego. We're here live and direct from Chula Vista, where a new election is on the horizon. I believe the voting day is on March 5th, if I am correct. And we have none other than the candidate running for the vacant position of city attorney. Ladies and gentlemen, friend of the show, friend of mine, friend of yours, friend of everybody, el compa Marco Verdugo. What is up, my man?
Wow, round of applause.
Only for you, dude.
That is amazing.
That is for you. These are the things we do for you. We pull out all the stop signs. When it comes to you.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Steve. It's a long time coming. I think we've been trying to do this for a while.
We have. I was excited to get you on, and then you said, I've heard 2 episodes. I was like, well, damn, son. We've had over 400 episodes. I'm happy you've listened to 2% of them. Less than 2%.
I'm a busy man.
Yeah,
and don't be offended.
Never.
I've listened to like 4 episodes of Joe Rogan, so, you know.
We're half the man Rogan now.
I don't eat that much elk.
That's math, baby. Real talk, man. Thank you for making time to come in and spend time with us and go over exactly who you are, what your endeavors are. First off, Mr. Verdugo, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first off, I mean, let me backtrack.
Get it, fool.
Thank you for getting me on here.
Mm.
And congratulations on all the success. I see awards over there. They say best. I didn't get a close up, but
Best podcast 2021, 2022. We took time off in 2023, but in 2024 we're going to come back guns slinging. Ain't that right, Barry?
That's what I'm talking about. You and me both.
That's
you
right,
and
Barry,
me both. 2024. This is our year.
This you got a lot on your plate, bro.
I got a lot on my plate. You know, I happen to be a family man.
Yes, you are.
I got a wife.
Mm.
I got 3 kids, 3 young kids, just like you.
3 kids.
3 kids, just
ages.
Like you. 12, 9, and 4. I passed the test. I know my kids' ages. I passed the
What's
test.
Their birthday? Dude, somebody tried to get me on that. We were at the pediatrician, and they're like, oh, what's his birthday? And I looked at him, and I was like, oh. Man, but I nailed it. And he's like, good job, Dad. I'm happy you know my birthday.
You know, the thing that gets me is the year.
Yeah,
I know their birthday, but the year always used to trip me up. And then my kids started playing soccer, and then they go by the year, and that's how I figured out. Okay, and that's how I kind of remember. Okay, you're 2011 to 2014.
Dude, your kids are in athletics too.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a family business.
Yeah.
You have a practice. Because you are an attorney.
That's right.
And now you are putting something else on your plate, bro.
Something else. Yeah. You know, I jumped into this race. You know, going back to the history. So Simone Silva passed away, was elected to be our city attorney here in Chula Vista.
Posthumously.
Yes.
How does that work?
How
does somebody who has passed away get voted into office?
So he was on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
He was alive. He was sick. He had cancer. Poor guy. No, I actually interned under him at the city of Chula Vista city attorney. My first job out of law school, my first internship. I shouldn't say out of law school. I was still in law school. So I start interning at the city of Chula Vista city attorney's office. Meet Simone. He kind of took me under his wing, taught me a lot, taught me how to be an attorney. Unfortunately, he got sick, had cancer, passed away. And he passed away, I think, 1 or 2 days after the deadline to remove him. From the ballot.
So he couldn't be removed.
So after a certain time period, the county who handles all this, the county registrar, they cannot make changes to the ballot, to ballot statements, to ballot designations or anything. And so, once your name is there, if something happens, you pass away, Well, guess what? They can't make any changes. They're still there. But, you know, he ended up winning.
There it is.
He ended up winning. He ended up being, and, you know, he would have done a great job. But unfortunately, he never got a chance to serve. So that put us in a hole. You know, the city of Chula Vista, we haven't had a city attorney in that role for over a year now.
What is the position of city attorney? What exactly does a city attorney do? What are the daily duties of a city attorney?
So let me give you the long answer first. You know, we go through every single contract that the city enters into. The city is basically a big corporation, mm-hmm. right? It's a municipal corporation. Hundreds of employees. You know, we're dealing with millions of dollars here. And we're dealing with a lot of regulations. So we go through every single contract, making sure we've got a sign. The city attorney actually puts their name on every single contract that the city enters into. And we got to make sure that we have language in that contract that protects the city. We got to make sure that we make sure that we advise city staff, city officials on every decision that they make. Because every, you know, these people, we got people in places that are making decisions that impact our residents. And every single decision that they make carries some risk with it, right? And so we give them the proper advice so that they feel confident that they're making the right decisions. We guide them. We give them the sort of legal framework to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And really are, you know, when, of course, you got litigation. Cities get sued a lot. Unfortunately, we get sued a lot. We're targets. And so we got to defend the city of litigation. Sometimes we got to go after bad actors.
Go ahead.
And so we've got to sue them. The city also has some prosecutorial abilities. We deal with we have an agreement with the DA. The DA handles misdemeanors and infractions here in the city.
Yeah.
But the city of Chula Vista does have concurrent jurisdiction, so we do have the ability to handle our own misdemeanors and infractions. Of course, felonies are referred to the DA, which does an amazing job here in San Diego. And so, you know, basically, to boil it down, sort of layman's terms, our job as city attorneys to protect the city. That means, you know, protecting our families, making sure that every neighborhood is safe, protecting our finances, making sure our taxpayer funds are used wisely, making sure we don't have no fraud, waste, abuse. And by doing that, we're going to protect our future. You know, I grew up here. I grew up here. My kids are growing up here, and I want them to have the same future that, you know, you and me, we had good childhoods. I think, you know, I heard you talking earlier about your childhood. You know, you're loose. You're hanging around.
Loose, everybody. Everybody.
Certified.
Hey, here's the thing. I was never into politics, Barry. We know this. We have this platform now where we bring people on who represent the city or whether it's Chula Vista or San Diego, and we're fortunate enough to have this platform, but it didn't really hit home, politics and everything that they do, until I had a family, until I had a business, because now I feel like everything has a reason for it, you know, so I pay closer attention. So now I take great pride in having, you know, friends that come on here who are running for office and be like, all right, hey, man, I know you'll do a good job in this position. Let's get you on there. Let's get you to go and kind of go down the resume of what you've done. Let's go and get you a goal to go over your goals on what you want to do when you're in that position. This is where this comes into play. Emo Brown is not a political podcast. It's a podcast where I put my friends and just, you know, community leaders and pillars of the community in a position to just kind of shoot their shot and tell everybody and inform everybody of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like you're saying, you weren't into politics until you had kids.
Exactly.
Now you're looking at, you know, what goes on in the community, because
there's a lot going on.
I go door to door. I call voters on the phone. You know, I'm going and just communicating our message and what I want feedback, right? So one of the most important things, one of the most valuable things that I learn when I'm talking to people, when I'm out in the community, when I'm going to events, where I'm knocking on doors, is what our voters are interested in. And like everyone else, like you, like me, they're interested in making sure that their kids are protected. They're making sure and that you know, our taxpayer money isn't going to waste. They want safe neighborhoods. They want access to good parks. They want, you know, access to good schools. And, you know, Chula Vista, for average working class, middle class families, it's one of the few places in the region, one of the few places in the county. It's really a hidden gem where, you know, normal people can find a good place to live with access to good schools, with safe neighborhoods, with a good relationship with the police officers. You know, it's one of the few places in this region where, you know, people can make it.
Look at you, bro. It's like you flipped the switch and you just went on a rampage. Get it. San Diego, it's expensive to live here. It costs a lot of money. I was reading an article through KPBS that said in order to live here and raise a family of four, the average and median income that you need is $125,000.
A lot of money.
It's ridiculous, bro.
It's a lot of money.
The cards are stacked against us, Barry.
I don't have $124,000. I don't have $100,000. I don't have
$1,000. Barry, you are a musician. You are a talent, and you are a gift to the community.
I got a light. That's all I got.
You know, people are just trying to make it. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. Paycheck to paycheck.
I was getting some tile done at my house recently. You know, let me backtrack a little bit again. You know, so about a year ago, we had our kitchen flooded. Oof. So we had to redo our entire kitchen. You know, and of course, it turns into not just redoing the kitchen, but, oh, we might as well, you know, put off new flooring throughout
the house.
If
you're going to do this, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And so the one thing that we just never got around to was replacing our tile in our laundry room. Had a tile guy come over and, you know, we finally got around to it. My wife was like, get it done before the end of the year. Bring the tile guy over. You know, he wants the money up front. I'm like, oh, just promise me you're gonna come back, right? I'm not gonna give you this money and you're gonna take off. And he's like, you know what? I'm just trying to make it, man. You know, that's it. And you know, he was a resident of Chula Vista, and like other people in Chula Vista, you know, we've got hardworking people here.
Yeah, we do, man.
And they're just trying to make it, just like everyone else. They just want to be able to provide for their family, be able to prosper here. And that's why I'm running. I want to be able to help people do that.
Look at you, bro. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to high school?
High school, Eastlake High School.
Look at you, man.
Yeah, class of 2000.
I'm older than you.
You are. What year did
I'm
you
class
graduate?
Of 97. I'm 44. How old are you then?
You went to Bonita, right?
I went to Bonita, home of champions. These are champions. These are champions are etched out of stone, graded in a mold to just outdo all other schools in the South Bay.
Whatever happened to real schools like Hilltop?
Hilltop is where Bonita guys went to find wives for themselves. That's where I found my wife in Hilltop.
Because quality comes from Hilltop.
Yes.
You know, I did go to the Hilltop Middle School. So, you know, I went to Hilltop Middle School. So my family, we grew up over by the Castle Park area.
Yes.
On Palomar. I went to Palomar Elementary School. Used to live on East Oneida. You know, had, you know, really good neighborhood. Palomar Elementary School, we were a California distinguished school, so I guess that means it was a good school.
Carries as much weight as my best podcaster of the year award, but go ahead, sir.
Hey, we got two of them.
Hella distinguished.
Yeah, so then I went to Hilltop Middle School. My family moved over to the Sunbow area, went to Hilltop Middle School. Then for high school, I think I had three options. So I could have gone to Hilltop, mm-hmm. could have gone to Eastlake, and I could have gone to Bonita. My brother went to Eastlake, and I needed a ride to school, so I went to Eastlake.
So your brother's older than you. You're not the oldest in the family.
I am not the oldest.
How many siblings
family.
Do you have?
It was just me and my brother.
Okay.
Just us two. Yeah, he's about your age, I think. Yeah, he's about your age. I'm 3 years younger. And, you know, he graduated class of 97. So
yep, that my
was,
age.
That was the first year that Eastlake graduates went like freshman through senior year. I was a little bit behind that. I was class of 2000, but now Eastlake, it blew up. That's a big school.
There's a lot of big schools down in the South Bay, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of huge schools here. There's the third largest population in the county of San Diego.
We got a lot of people. I mean, I saw it firsthand, right? I mean, I lived in the Sunbow area, went to Eastlake High School. So every day I would drive down Otay Lakes Road. And you know, that was when Otay Ranch was a ranch. It wasn't, you know, a housing development. It was a ranch. There were cows on the side.
Barry,
of the
there was cows.
I remember the cows.
On our drive on Telegraph Canyon Road.
That's
if
right,
you drove
that's
down
right.
Telegraph Canyon Road, there was cows on the road.
There were cows on the side of the road. Yeah.
Unreal.
I remember Proctor Valley Road.
Oh, yeah. Proctor Valley Road. Careful. No one's self-incriminating things in front of our future city attorney, young man.
I live off Proctor Valley Road now. Yeah. But where I live is, you know, it was just hills. It was rolling hills. And, you know, now it's Rolling Hills Ranch. And that's where I live. You know, and so, you know, I've grown up in the area. I've seen this community grow almost pretty much double in size right before our eyes. Right. And so, you know, with that comes issues, with growth comes issues. It's great. Right. Cause this is one of the few places in the county where we have room to grow, and we still got a little room to grow. You know, people need housing. Chula Vista is one of the few places that can provide that housing. We got to make sure that we do it right.
Sure, you're going to be next to a landfill. No big deal, guys. You don't want to live next to a landfill? How about a federal prison? We've got that too here in Chula Vista. We've got all of the things. We're running out of space, man.
Well, I don't think that the prison is in Chula Vista. But,
we've gotten that far in no time.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, you know, I've seen this community grow. I know the issues that we're facing. This is a great place to live, and we got to keep it that way. You know, I want to make sure that the city's protected, that we're protecting our families, that we're protecting our finances, and protecting our future.
And that's your job as a future city attorney of Chula Vista. That all follows under the umbrella.
That all falls under the umbrella of city attorney and what our job is. You know, we're working with our other elected officials, working with policymakers, working with every city employee, and making sure that they have the tools necessary, making sure that they have the legal guidance that they need to help the city grow. I mean, we're all pulling the same way. We all want the same thing.
Yep.
There's different ways to go about it, and so my job is to make sure that we can get there in a way that's legally enforceable. That's going to withstand a challenge, because we get sued a lot from opponents, people that don't like certain things, and we've got to make sure that the policy choices that we make are legally enforceable. And that's my job.
That sounds like a lot of things to go through. Good on you, man. Your background is actually you come from a family business background.
That's right. Yeah.
Your parents are entrepreneurs. Did they go to school here, or did they move here later on in life?
So interesting story. So my mom, both my parents grew up in TJ.
Okay.
They're both from Tijuana. My mom's father passed away when she was really young. And she had like 8 siblings. And my grandma just couldn't afford to take care of them all. So she had a sister over here in San Ysidro. And my mom, cause she was oldest, she went to go live with her aunt. So she grew up over here, went to school, ended up going to school in National City. Always dreamed about becoming a teacher. But she had kids pretty young, got married to my dad, had my brother. But when I was in middle school, she went into National University.
Very nice.
Got her degree, got her teaching credential, and she taught for 30 years in National City.
Look at that, man.
Just retired a couple years back, right before COVID. That was really inspiring.
Set a goal, meet a goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, my dad, he started his own business with nothing. I helped him after college, kind of joining the family business, helped him expand a little bit between college and law school. So I did that for a few years, got my contractor's license. And that's what he does. He has a small business here in the city, always operated here in Chula Vista. He's a contractor. Focused on environmental safety issues, dealing with underground storage tanks, making sure that these things aren't leaking into the ground, polluting our water, polluting our soil. So that's what he's focused on. And it's something I'm really familiar with. I'm proud of him for all the success that he's had. He's still out there. He's still growing. He's still working. Even at the
age, is still working.
He's still working.
No way.
Yeah, even at the age of 66. Uh-huh. Yeah,
hella young. The young man. The young man out there, man.
Yeah, no, he's still out there. He's still out there hustling. He's done well for himself.
Family operated still.
Absolutely.
You and your brother still holding it down.
My brother is still heavily involved in the business. I'm an attorney. I have my own primary responsibilities, but that's family. My last name is on the building, and so I have a vested interest in making sure that it continues to be successful. So, occasionally everyone else that has a lawyer in the family, right? You're going to get all these questions, and they're family. So I'm always going to help out my family to the extent possible.
Look at you, man. Look at that. So in addition to actually being part of the family business, do you have your own private practice?
So I started off my career as an intern at the City of Chula Vista City Attorney's Office. Built upon that. Got hired out of law school by a firm that does a lot of public agency and city attorney work. And from there, I went to the city attorney's office in San Diego, where I worked for about a decade. Was hired under Jan Goldsmith, worked with Mara Elliott pretty closely. I got a ton of experience. San Diego, it's a big city.
Very big.
They got a ton of issues. And so I got to deal with pretty much everything under the sun, everything that cities deal with. From First Amendment issues to real property to, advising, different departments, from corporate partnerships and the Park and Rec Department, Parks and Rec does everything. I mean, they get all these kind of issues. And of course, I dealt with a lot of homelessness issues. So, I'm really familiar with what cities go through, the legal issues that they deal with. And I recently just left that position at the city attorney's office back last year in May. And I went to a private law firm that does the same type of public agency and city attorney representation. They just do it on a private capacity. So right now, I'm advising different cities around the region and different cities in the state. But it's always been my job has always been focused on representing public agencies, representing cities. And so that's what I specialize in. And so, you know, when I saw this sort of void here in the city I grew up in, right?
Why wouldn't you?
The city I grew up in. Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't, right? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people don't run for office. The pay isn't the best. You're not going to get rich doing this. It's a lot of scrutiny. You're putting your name out there. And I've always been a private person. I didn't even have social media before all this.
Not under your real name.
I'm still trying to, I feel like a boomer trying to figure out how to do this stuff. It took me like an hour to do an Instagram post this morning. But no, I've always been a private person, just focused on my work, putting my head down, doing the work, focused on my family, and just, like everybody else, just trying to make it. And so when I saw the void that we had, I didn't really jump right in. I had to think about this for a long time and talk to people around me, talk to my wife, talk to my family, and make sure that, first of all, they're going to be supportive, because I can't do it on my own.
Everyone's on board?
I cannot do it on my own. I don't think any of us really understood the commitment.
Yeah.
Because this is a huge
Very
commitment.
Very much so.
I have a job. I have a family. And this is like a second job. Yeah. It really is a second job.
And you have a family
job.
Business.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Here's the thing, man. What I've learned is that there is no more, I'm a private person if I'm running for some sort of city position.
No, absolutely.
As soon as that happens, you're out there doing interviews. I've seen you on TV. You're out there going door to door. So whether you like it or not, you got to shed that skin of I'm a private person, because you are out in the spotlight, man.
And that was the big decision, right? Am I for ready sure. to sort of give up being just a private person and become this person who's, running for office, and I'm putting myself out there. Like you're saying, I don't consider myself, an extrovert. And so all of this was kind of new to me, and it didn't come, a lot of it didn't come, I wasn't sure how it was going to work out, me going door to door, me going to events, doing public speaking events. But you know what? I think, first of all, it's been a lot more fun being out in the community than I thought. I didn't know what to expect. It's been a lot of fun, meeting people. Meeting voters, knocking on doors. I was out canvassing this week. We had a huge event this weekend. We had Congressman Juan Vargas came down for the event. He spoke at the event. We had other elected officials, other former elected officials. We had Mr. Ben Wesso, former assemblyman, he was one of the first people to endorse my campaign. He showed up. We had about between 50, 75 people out there. We met at Horizon Park in Otay Ranch, and kind of between Otay Ranch and Sunbow, right next to Hedden Camp. And we went out and, we canvassed
the neighborhood.
We had everybody canvassing the neighborhood, delivering flyers. So I knocked on a lot of doors this weekend, and it's funny.
What's the response been?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah. Regardless, regardless of political background, ideology, if I'm able to look at them in the eye and just, explain to them what I'm about, my background, why I'm doing this, what I'm trying to achieve here, I'm able to win a lot of people over. And so, I knocked on the door. When you're knocking on a door, we have data, right? And so we have names. We know who lives there. But occasionally, somebody who I don't have information on, answers the door. And so I'm going to talk to them. This happened to be, a very right-leaning person. I am a registered Democrat. I've been endorsed by the Democratic Party. But you know what? I told him what I'm about. I let him know what I'm trying to achieve here. And, I was able to win him over. And, I asked him, will you vote for me? And he said, yes. I'd like what you have to say. And I will vote for you, Marco. Thanks for stopping by.
How does that make you feel, man?
Oh, great. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I don't take it lightly. People are putting a lot of trust in me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. A lot of times I might talk to people for 30 seconds. I might talk to them for 5 minutes. But I mean, that's a lot of trust to put in someone. And so I'm very appreciative of that. I had another lady, I answered the door. She knew who I was. She knew my name. She says, "Oh, Mr. Verdugo, come in.
There it is.
Come into my living room." And mm-hmm. I was like, "Wow, okay.
You're going to feed me, or what's going on?"
No, she didn't feed me, but I didn't have time to eat anyway. I was on the trail. But she said, "Come in," and we had a little conversation just like this. We had a conversation just like this for about 10 minutes. It's amazing, right? I mean, who does that? Who invites just a stranger into your house like that? I just happened to knock on her door. And she was really helpful. She said, "Yeah, come by, put up a yard sign. You know, I'd love to, and I gave her my phone number. Give me a call anytime if you have any questions.
There it is.
And it's been amazing, you know, the ability to connect with
you
people.
Were built for this position, man. Just listening to your story right now, listening to your background and you know, past experiences and job and career moves that you've made, it seems like this was the direction all of those previous moves were heading, to go back to your hometown and try to run for the city attorney position, which is currently vacant. It seems like all of the stars aligned and made it happen.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
you?
And you know, I didn't go back to my hometown. I've never left. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to college at San Diego State, went to law school at USD. So I've never left. I've always lived in Chula Vista. My wife, she went to Bonita, mm-hmm. Just like you. And so she's from the area. Her family's from the area. We got married. You know, we had no reason to go anywhere else. I mean, you talk about, you know, it's expensive here, right? And so we're making sacrifices too. But we have no reason to go anywhere else. This is home. This is where we're from. This is where our family is. You know, I live 5 minutes from my brother's house. I live, you know, probably 2 minutes from my parents' house. My in-laws are in town.
Isn't that crazy? That's a common tale in the South Bay, Marco.
People don't leave because why would you? Why would you? This is a great place to live. Why would you leave?
I don't know. 5 years ago, or roughly maybe less than 10 years ago, we were voted as the most boring city in America. And if boring means having access to some of the best food, having access to some of the, you know, nice little night spots to go have a cocktail.
The best brewery.
Hello, safe schools. You know, a great neighborhood. I want to be in the most boring city for the rest of my life. My parents live half a mile from us. My sister lives a mile from us. My suegros, they live like 2 miles from us. We all live in the same general region. Yeah. One of my good friends, Barry, just Barry the Third, he lives a couple miles from me. We all live on the west side. So it's crazy. So when I see positions like this in our city that are vacant and people are going into an election, you try to fill them, the first thing I look at is, like, where is this person from?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? Like you're saying, it's all about, you know, where, what somebody's background is, right? It's not just about, you know, what experience they've had, but what's been their involvement in the community. And, you know, I think all of our elected officials should have really deep roots in this community, should know what they're doing, and should be a reflection of the community. You know, I'm the son of immigrants, like a lot of people in the city.
Yes, sir.
You know, my parents came over from Mexico. There's a lot of, you know, regardless of what country they came from, what their ethnicity is. I mean, a lot of immigrants have the same sort of story, the same dreams, the same desires. And even people that aren't, you know, children of immigrants, we all want the same thing. And yeah, you know, this city, it's, you know, it was voted boring a city or whatever. That's by people who don't know. Mm-hmm. That's from outsiders that are judging this. But we, as, you know, people from Chula Vista, we're used to it. We're used to it.
If that deters people from coming here, by all means, bro. Go ahead.
I like the other term for us. We're a commuter city.
A commuter city.
Yeah. All right. That we, like, you know, we go from here to go other places to work, indeed, hang out, do that stuff. We got our own little thing going on to entertain ourselves. We don't need everybody to know about it. But for we real? Got, yeah. We're a commuter city.
No, but
it's better than boring.
That's an issue. That's an issue, I think. And it's an issue because, you know, if you go to a restaurant, a brewery during the daytime, it's probably not going to be busy. Mm. And guess what? You know, but there's people from Chula Vista that are eating lunch, that are at breweries. They just happen to be doing that where they work.
Yeah.
And so you try to go to a place on the weekend, try to walk into, you know, Pizzo's on a Saturday night. You can be waiting, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But you go in the middle of the day and there's no problem getting a table. And so being a bedroom community has issues because you're taking people that are working elsewhere and they're spending their money elsewhere. And yeah. So one of my goals is to sort of help transform the city from a bedroom community to a place where people can live, they can work, and they can play without having to spend their money somewhere else. I mean, you know, you've done a lot for this community with, you know, 3Punk, the Elwood. So, you know, that's great. And now we just need to have, you know, more job centers here, so that people don't have to, you know, drive to North County or drive downtown. And that way, guess what? You know, they're going to lunch here.
Yeah.
You know, we got the development going on the Bayfront. That's going to be great.
It's going to be huge.
That's going to be great. And, you know, one of the things that that I'm finding out is that, you know, a lot of these businesses are kind of closed on Mondays, right? The restaurants are closed on Mondays. Guess what? When we got a convention in town, you don't have to be closed on Mondays anymore. You know, you're going to want to be open, because it's going to be busy. People need a place to go. And so that's going to be huge for the city.
We were down there at the Gaylord property, the build out over the weekend, took the kids for a little bike ride on the pier, the J Street Marina. And I was telling them, I was like, did you know that right now this is the biggest project, build-out project in the country? Like, in the whole United States, this is the biggest project going on construction-wise. And it just goes to show, it's like, once a sleepy town, once voted most boring, is the tide is turning, my friend.
Yeah, we are waking up.
Yeah, there's going to be an influx of people that are going to want to move in here and do all those things. So I'm like, for one, it's a sense of pride. And two, it's like, oh, man, our little town is going to get all blown up now.
You know, I mean, Chula Vista and Chula Vistans, I mean, we're united, though. I mean, it's like, you know, one of the things that I realized when I'm knocking on, you alluded to this earlier, right? And when I'm knocking on doors, people ask me, where are you from? Where you grew up? Are you
they
from?
They bang on you, fool.
Where are you from, Missy?
Where are you from, fool? Rolling Hills Ranch? I want my city attorney to be from the west side.
People ask me, you know, I was walking around the Otay Ranch area, and, you know, there was a guy walking his dog there, right? And so, you know, I'm doing my thing. I give him my flyer. Hey, let me introduce myself. I'm Marco Verdugo, running for Chula Vista City Attorney. First question he asks, where are you from? Where did you grow up? Did you grow up here? And yeah, you know, that's my story. I'm a local guy. I grew up in Chula Vista. I was born on 4th Avenue. So I'm literally born and raised in Chula Vista, born at Bay General. I think that's what it was called when I was born. Now it was like Scripps. But yeah, you know, I'm born and raised in the city, never left. You know, this is where I'm from. This is where my family's from. I have a vested interest in making sure that Chula Vista continues to be safe, livable, affordable. You know, I'm raising my three kids here. You know, like you said, I got a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 4-year-old. And so I have a huge stake in making sure that this community continues to be safe, livable, and affordable.
Fine, dude, I'll vote for you. Sheesh. Damn, man. Is the whole family ready to vote for you or what, man? When is the election?
So we just got done with we had a special election back in November, right? So that was my first go around. We ended up getting the most votes in that election, which was awesome. I didn't know how this was going to go, right? You never know. I don't know how people are. You sure they tell me they're going to vote for you? Sure, we're calling people on the phone. We're phone banking. We're knocking on doors. We're getting good responses, but you never know until election day what's going to happen. Ended up with the most votes, which I was really proud about. It was amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And so we are back at it again. Ballots go out next week, I believe. So first week of February. And then election day, the last day to vote is March 5th.
March 5th.
That's right.
Look at you. You ready or what?
I have no choice.
Is there a speech? Do you have to give a speech or what? What do you got to do?
Yeah, I mean, we're giving our stump speech. You know, we give a stump speech when we go out. We have fundraisers when we're out. You know, we had an event this week. I didn't know what to call it. Right, they called it an event, but you know, somebody said, you know, it was a good rally. And yeah, I guess you know, it's kind of like a rally, like a Trump rally, where you know he goes.
You led a rally, and you called it a Trump rally.
I didn't call it a Trump rally. You know, without Trump,
you should call this insurrection.
Just
right?
A rally. Just a rally. Good on you, man.
You're
gonna win this thing or what?
Absolutely. What do you mean? That's why we're doing it. We're doing it for Chula Vista because we're the best fit. You know, I'm running against a guy who's never lived in Chula Vista.
Oh, really?
He worked here.
I was unaware of that.
He worked here, but he lived in La Jolla.
Uh-huh.
Raised his kids up there. You know, and he's been retired for about 5 years.
Okay.
I think he retired back in 2019, but he saw this opening, and so he rented an apartment over on H Street, furnished apartment. He still has his house in La Jolla, but he rented an apartment, moved down here. A week later, filed the run. And so
that's allowed. You can do those things.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, back a couple years back, Chula Vista amended its charter to require that the person running for city attorney be a resident of Chula Vista. But they didn't put a time requirement behind it. Even though that's kind of the spirit, right? The spirit behind that is that you actually be from the city of Chula Vista, be from the community. That way, you know the issues, you're familiar with the issues. It's impossible to know and understand the issues that we face if you haven't lived here. It's just impossible. He worked here. Never lived here until his kids were up and out of the house. Then he decides, okay, now it's okay for me to move down to Chula Vista. Although, you know, his kids went to La Jolla High School. You know, they always went to schools up there. You know, it was Chula Vista wasn't a good fit for him back then. But now that, you know, he's running for office, now he moves down here. So, you know, me, I've always been from the city, never left. You know, I have a vested interest in making sure that this community continues to grow, continues to be prosperous for all of us. You, me, and everyone else. And so, yeah, that's why I'm running.
How important are, you know, people who have come out and said, hey, we support Marco Verdugo? Are these endorsements a big deal, even in a city attorney election and that kind of a race, like it would be in the mayoral race? Like, I know you've listed off all of the people that support you and endorse you. Does that play a role in ultimately winning the position?
You know, I don't know. It means a lot to me, first of
For
all.
For sure.
You know, it means a lot to me. You know, I've been endorsed by, you know, the entire city council. I've been, you know, and you know, when I first put my name in the hat, right, people didn't know who I was. I haven't been involved in politics before. I am not a politician. And so it just took me, you know, introducing myself and trying to win them over. But, you know, it's, you know, like a council member, Alonzo Gonzalez, was one of the first to endorse me. Former Assemblyman Ben Wesso, he was also one of the first to endorse me. I've gotten endorsements from, you know, our County Supervisor Nora Vargas, Congressman Juan Vargas, which was huge. He was at our event last week. Nora's going to be speaking at our event this coming weekend.
You're a politician now, man.
And
you are. Yeah. Look at that hair, everything. I look at you, I see a politician, polished and everything, ready to go, ready to run.
We got the endorsement of the Democratic Party. Mm. We've got, you know, a lot of organized labor behind us. We've been endorsed by the San Diego and Imperial County labor.
Damn, that's council. Quite the list, man. Sheesh.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've been endorsed. And we were recently endorsed by Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre, who is great. She's amazing.
I saw you at that fundraiser. We saw you at each other at the Nora Vargas, the county supervisor fundraiser. That was fun.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, I've enjoyed is being out in the community and you know, getting to know people, going to these events, putting my name out there, and you know, I've gotten good feedback. And you know, I was even recently endorsed by the guy we ran against in the special election, Dan Smith. Mm. So Dan Smith, you know, Republican endorsed candidate Dan Smith has also now endorsed my campaign, which is good, you know, because we're reaching out to everybody. You know, if you're independent, if you're Democrat, if you're Republican, it doesn't matter.
Across the table.
It doesn't matter. This is a nonpartisan race. Mm-hmm. You won't see, you know, Democrat or Republican on the ballot. You're going to see my name. You're going to see what I'm about. You're going to see my ballot designation. I'm the city's attorney because that's a good reflection of what I've done throughout my career. I've represented cities. I know the issues that cities face. It's what I've it's a really specialized area of the law, right? Not every attorney can be the city attorney. You've got to have that experience. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to know what the laws that cities face. I mean, we're dealing with federal law, state law, and then we have our local laws, and then we have laws that only apply to municipal governments and local governments. So we got to be really well-versed in all of that.
Look at that. If he's good enough for the city of Chula Vista, he's good enough to be my freaking attorney. Let's get it, man. Verdugo, he represents me too, Barry. What's up now?
Get it.
What's up with these signs, man? Can people reach out to you? What's the website people can donate? What's the website people can reach out and procure one of these beautiful Verdugo City Attorney signs?
What do you think? Right there. Look at that. How about that? Look at that. Verdugo City Attorney. Yeah, you know, you want signs, go to my website, join the campaign, marcoverdugo.com. Find us on socials, Marco for City Attorney. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. But yeah, you can go to my website, marcoverdugo.com. You know, you want to sign, you want to help out. We have an event this weekend, a rally. We have a rally this weekend.
You just love throwing that word around. Huh? Rally.
We got a rally.
Look at that guy.
Oh, look at that.
I'm not a politician. Yeah.
What a handsome guy.
Yeah. Look at that guy.
Yeah. No. So we are rallying this weekend. We're actually having a joint event with Mr. Mm-hmm. Cesar Fernandez.
Oh yes. Who is running, seat number five.
Yeah. He is,
love that guy.
He is running for city council. Here in Southwest Chula Vista.
Okay.
So we are actually in his council.
We are
district,
in his jurisdiction.
Right, in the council district that he's running for.
Yet he couldn't make time in his busy schedule to visit us here. Seat number five, Cesar Fernandez.
Absolutely.
It's weird because he likes joint ventures.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I bet he does. But
oh, whoa.
No, so we're having a joint event this weekend on Sunday, February 4th. And so we'd love to have everybody come out there. We're also, you know, you can always go to my website. Please donate. Please sign up to support our campaign. Come to our events. You know, we need volunteers to do phone banking. We are phone banking every day of the week. We are knocking on doors. We are knocking on doors mainly on the weekends. I'm going out there by myself, but we are getting teams together on the weekends to go out and help out as well. So if you're able to contribute, if you're able to support our campaign, we are doing this for Chula Vista. This is by Chula Vista.
Oof.
So we could really use the support of the community, and we've gotten a lot of it. And I'm really appreciative. I'm really appreciative of people like you that have me on here and allow me to sort of get my message out there as well. So thank you very much.
A great message, man. Real talk. A family guy, a local guy, somebody that we all know. You know, we might not know you personally, but we all know people like you that are here from Chula Vista. Pretty much we're all stand-up, hardworking family guys.
That's what it's about.
This is the next question that's going to determine whether or not people flock to you.
All right. Give it to me.
What is your go-to taco spot here in Chula Vista?
You know.
Where do you go get burritos?
Look at. You may not know this. Hmm? My in-laws run Cotija's Taco Shop. So I would never say go
Lolitas.
Get a burrito. No, Cotijas.
Okay.
Cotijas.
So you would never say Lolitas.
We'll say it for you.
Lolitas.
Look, I gotta be loyal to
for
the
sure, man.
I love Lolitas. Lolitas does great. They do great stuff. And I also enjoy going to Lolitas and getting a good California burrito. And getting carne asada fries there and getting my roll tacos there. I mean, I have a Lolita's close to my home, so I go there frequently, absolutely.
Where's the nearest Cotijas?
There's a Cotijas in the East Lake, right next to the donut bar.
It's right next
to,
and the Trader Joe's, huh?
Trader Joe's, yeah.
Oh, man, okay.
So there's one there, and there's another one on Otay Lakes Road.
Right on the bottom where the old Blockbuster used to be.
Yes.
Yeah, right next to the Bank of America.
I forgot there was a Blockbuster
there.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, not so Chula Vista after all. A wolf in sheep's clothing.
I remember the Blockbuster on top. That's like a dentist or something.
Yeah, for sure,
right by the high school.
Good for you, though. Look at you. You eat burritos all the time, then.
Too many burritos. Too many burritos. Yeah, I love.
You look good for a guy that eats a lot of burritos.
Tacos. Yes. You know, I eat as many burritos as possible. Tacos, I love tacos. That's my weakness, tacos and, you know, pizza. But, yeah, I think tacos is the greatest food ever invented.
Go-to taco, what kind?
Yeah, what's your talking go-to here? Taco?
I love Al Pastor, Alabada. I took a trip down with a friend of mine down to Mexico City.
Okay.
And he told me—
All the tacos are down there.
He told me, you know, the best Al Pastor tacos in Mexico City. I said, no way. No way. You know, Tijuana has the best tacos in the world. I don't care. I don't know what it is. I've eaten tacos all over and, you know, Tijuana, and it's the same style here. And, you know, we go to taco places in Chula Vista, it's the same style. We can't sort of recreate, you know, the seasoning that they have on their grills, right? But we do our best here. But yeah, no. So we went down to Mexico City and we ate tacos for every meal.
Yeah, they have them. They offer them for every meal.
Breakfast taco, lunch taco, dinner taco.
All the tacos, bro. For real.
You know, I wanted to get a good sense. Okay, you know, how do we compare, right? And I Tijuana, San Diego, the South Bay. We can go head to head with anyone when it comes to our tacos.
Look at this guy, Chula Vista through and through. Do you have a Chula Vista tattoo?
I do not have any tattoos.
I'd like to take you to get yourself a Chula Vista tattoo.
You know what? I always said, here's my hesitation with tattoos, right? Is that, you know, I want to make sure it's something, you know, they're permanent. So I want to make sure, you know, I want to make sure that's something I can live with. Mm. And so I've never really, you know, wanted to get a tattoo that I can live with. But you bring up a great idea.
You've never left the city. Let's ensure the city will never leave you.
And that is
great.
What
a spin.
And so if and when I win, let's go get it.
There's no let's. I have mine, sir. I have mine.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'll get mine with you.
You're coming. Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid of needles, but let's do it.
That's good.
I will commit to that.
There it is. You heard it here. More importantly, good luck. Thank you for sharing your story, man.
Absolutely.
I feel like this is a great opportunity for at least the people who listen to what we do out on a weekly basis to get to know. It's not very often that people are like, oh, who is a city attorney? Unless they have a vested interest as a family member or somebody they knew from school or anything. But you are a family guy, a local guy, a guy that we can all relate to. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best. We'll do our part to help you out in any way we can. Thank you for coming on and making time out of your busy day. Go consume some tacos, fool.
I'm definitely going to eat some tacos after this. Let's go.
Barry, push the button. I think we're all due with Marco Verdugo, the future city attorney of Chula Vista.